Our scripture reading this morning is a familiar Christmas passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm reading this morning from the English Standard Version. As I told you last week, we're trying to make sure that what I read and what we project are one and the same thing. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracle of which we just read. Wow. Lord, for us to try and wrap our minds around the reality of the incarnation, it's a little more than we can handle. Thank you for stepping into creation. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to save. Thank you for coming to save me. Open your word to us this morning, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a busy season for the angels, that first Advent season. We've seen the angels at work these last few weeks, showing up, telling Zacharias, "You're going to be a father to John the Baptist." Showing up and telling Mary, "You're going to be the mother of the Messiah." Showing up and telling Joseph, "Boy, did God just complicate your life." and the angels show up again in Luke chapter 2. There are, of course, a couple of differences. Last week we looked at Mary's song, and the week before it, Zechariah's song. This week it's the angels themselves that are singing. And it's not just one angel. It's a bunch of them. A multitude. And the content of that song, pretty short and pretty simple. It's there in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, that's a pretty neat song. This was not just a baby that had arrived. It was good news. The gospel, which is what the gospel means, good news of great joy, literally mega joy. It's a kind of song that anyone would want to sing. But it's not the song that everybody sings. So my question for you this morning is, how do we get there? How do we get to the angel's song? How do we get the singing of good news, of great joy? I think it helps us to hear what the shepherds heard. So that's where we're going for a few minutes this morning. Good news of great joy. It's good news of a Savior. The angel said to them, verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Both Mary and Joseph had been told that the name of this baby would be Jesus. And that his name would be Jesus for a reason. He will save his people from their sin. The name Jesus, it's a Hebrew name, really, Yeshua, that literally means the Lord, Yahweh, saves. The Lord saves. Now, quite honestly, it was not an uncommon name. I know we like to sing, there's something about that name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. We're kind of right there with the Gaithers. But we don't sing Johnny, Johnny, Johnny. There's just something about that name. Or Timothy, Timothy. Timothy, there's just something about that name. Why don't we sing that? The name Jesus, Yeshua, was not an uncommon name. What was different is that this Jesus would be carrying out the saving. He would literally be fulfilling the meaning of that name. He would be the Lord who saves. From what? Isn't that the trouble when we start talking about salvation and being saved? You can't talk about it without eventually getting around to the from what. Saved from what? Have you been saved? From what?
Sin, darkness.
Ah. That's it. You can't deal with the reality of Christmas unless you're prepared to deal with the reality of sin. And that sometimes gets a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? It's meaningless to talk about a Savior if there's nothing to be saved from. He came. And He came as a Savior. And that's good news. And it ought to prompt great joy. At least it does if I have any concept of the awfulness of my own sin. And so what those shepherds heard as they listened to the angel is, hey shepherds, there's a Savior for you. There's a Savior in Bethlehem. And that's good news. But the angel didn't stop there. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Okay? It's not His surname. It's actually not a name at all. It's a title. It means the one who is anointed. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. This Savior that's coming, He's the Messiah, the anointed one. The one you've all been waiting for centuries. He's here. And I suspect that those shepherds were just a little bit shocked to hear that. The idea that the Messiah should finally have arrived, not only finally have arrived, but arrived and been announced to them. Wow. And they had the opportunity to welcome the one who had come as the deliverer, the one come to set His people free. They need a deliverer. Have you ever needed a deliverer? We are a people who cherish freedom. Hard for us to understand living under circumstances where freedom is foreign. That the freedom that this Messiah came to give was not merely political freedom, was not merely to lift the oppression of Rome, but to provide spiritual freedom. He actually came to make things better. Now, having said that, I will tell you there are some times when it doesn't look like that. There are times when it seems like the Lord is really messing up your life. That's because we don't have His perspective. Well, we don't have it on his perspective on Christmas either. We look at it from this side of heaven, not from his side. That's why I'm convinced there had to be a little pain in heaven at the idea of Christmas. The idea of God the Son being separated, somehow limited, laying aside his privileges and prerogatives as God in order to become the God-man. Never ceasing to be God, but stepping into the limitations of creation. Wow. Can you wrap your mind around that? I've been trying to wrap my mind around that for years. And I don't think I'm going to fully get it this side of heaven. I know you've all heard the wonderful traditional explanations of the incarnation, how that works, of God stepping into creation, the attempt to explain it away. It's pretty hard to explain away. It really is. My personal favorite is a scene out of the movie Mary Poppins, where Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews and the kids jump into a chalk pavement drawing and become a part of what Dick Van Dyke, the artist, had created. And you look at that in the movie and you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's imaginary. Nobody can do that. That, in a sense, is what God did. Stepping into what he had created. A long way from a perfect illustration. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is where most people start having trouble with Jesus. I'm okay with him being my Savior. I'm okay with him being my deliverer. I'm okay with the idea of him being my Lord, but I'm not always okay with the actuality of that. I sometimes resist that reality. Because if he is Lord, that means he is boss. He's the one in charge, and I'm not. It's not a case of my life being lived with two heads, me and God. In all of creation, God didn't create anything with two heads. And if you find something with two heads, it's a freak. It's an accident. When we lived in the Bay Area, San Francisco Zoo, I believe it was, had a, I don't remember whether it was now a snake or a lizard, that actually had two heads. It was a strange beast. It was a freak. A genetic accident. If he's the head, I'm not. And it's not an empty title, this. It's not intended to be just lip service to a word. See, when you enter a relationship with Jesus Christ, It's a package deal. You get all of that. You get a Savior. You get a Messiah. But you get a Lord as well. It's easy at Christmas to overlook that. because we simply get stuck at the manger. I can deal with Jesus as long as he's a baby, as long as he's a helpless infant. Can I deal with him if he is Lord? Well, we skipped over a couple of words, and it wouldn't be good to miss them. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you. This message that the angel brought to the shepherds was a personal message. To you. Not just to the nation of Israel, a Savior has been born. Not even just to the world, a Savior has been born. Hey, shepherd, to you, a Savior has been born. Malcolm, to you, a Savior has been born. Make sure you're sticking yourself into what the angel said, because it's for you. It's intended to be personal. Shepherds, it's for you. FTPC, it's for you. Malcolm, it's for you. And then the angel said something a little strange. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What on earth is that all about? Anyway, you ever wondered that? What's this deal about swaddling cloths and a manger? Maybe it isn't important. But if it's not important, then why in the space of 10 verses does Luke tell us twice about the swaddling cloths and three times about the manger? Check it out between verses 7 and 16. We're told that baby was born and wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. The angels are told, you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And then again, when they come, they find the baby lying in a manger. You ever look at that and say, so what? There's actually, I think, a pretty important so what to it. And we miss it because we don't have the cultural background for it. These shepherds in the Bethlehem Hills, possibly, in fact, likely, were shepherds, Levitical shepherds, with a responsibility for the lambs that would be sacrificed at the temple. Hundreds every year of those lambs needed for sacrifice. And those lambs, you'll remember, there were requirements. It couldn't just be any old lamb. It needed to be a lamb that was without blemish, spotless. And if it's us, we're going to go out, check the flock, and if there's an injured lamb there, we're going to take that lamb, get rid of it anyway, you know? No. It was, take the one that was spotless. These shepherds, with the responsibility for the sacrificial lambs, the paschal lambs, I am told by those who know such things, would take those newborn lambs, prone as they were to try and figure out which end was up right after they're born, they would take that lamb and swaddle it. And they would lie it in the manger. It was not the typical manger we see in Christmas pictures. It was likely a slightly hollowed out area in a cave. And they would put that lamb there until it quieted down sufficiently to be fed safely without injuring itself, in order to protect the without blemish, spotless part of the lamb. So when the shepherds are told, you're going to find a baby swaddled in a manger, it was a sign that they would have had a hard time missing. What? A baby? Swaddled in a manger? This baby was a baby who came as a paschal lamb, as a sacrifice, as one to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. Easy for us to miss because we don't have the cultural background. I don't think the shepherds would have missed it for an instant. And I think that's the reason that when the angels were done, the shepherds said, we got to go see this. We've got to go see this. A baby in a manger. How else can you explain supposedly responsible shepherds leaving their flock to go check out a baby? Not just any baby. A sacrificial lamb. And by the way, as you read Scripture, that imagery is permanent. When you get into the book of Revelation, and John is recording his vision, he's weeping because nobody has been found worthy to open the scrolls. And he's told, don't worry. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he will. And Scripture says that John turns and he sees not a lion, but a lamb. A lamb as though it had been slain. Jesus. The spotless sacrifice. Those shepherds wouldn't have missed it. Let's be sure we don't miss it either. Savior, Messiah, Lord, to you, wrapped in a manger like a sacrificial lamb, so what do you do with the good news of great joy? How do we get to sing the angel's song? Make it personal. Make it personal. Don't miss the unto you part. Do what the shepherds did. They went. The angels left and they went to check it out for themselves. You want to sing the song of good news of great joy? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what the shepherds did. And then they made known what had been told them. They spread the word. Tell other people. Tell other people. And then you know what those shepherds did? They went back to the fields. They got reunited with their sheep. And they did what it was they were supposed to do. They were shepherds. They were shepherds before the angel appeared. They were shepherds after the angels were done. The difference is now they're singing the angel's song. They're glorifying and praising God. If you want to sing the angel's song, you need to come to Jesus. You need to let the world know. And you need to go back to whatever your normal life is. Glorifying and praising God because He's done something in your life that nobody else could ever do. And if you haven't done that this Christmas, boy, I know of no better time than now. You come to Jesus by inviting Him to be your Lord and Savior. Telling Him that. Confessing your sin. Inviting Him into your life. You let other people know that by opening your mouth and living before them the life of somebody that God has changed. And then wherever God has placed you in this world, doing whatever God has given you to do, do it with glory and praise to Him. Because now He lives within. Father, thank You for the angel's song. Thank You for shepherds that heard it and responded. Thank You for coming. Thank You for making a difference. Thank You for being our sacrificial lamb. Thank You for making us Yours in Jesus' name. Amen.